Okay, this is March 26th, and the topic tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There is a power for good in the universe, and you are part of that, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware that we are part of the universe, or part of this thing that we call God, and we are certainly part of this thing called good. And that is a choice that we're making all the time, to not only be good, to see good, and to do good. It is so much more pleasant with your thinking to be good. Your whole body feels better when you're doing good, when you're thinking good thoughts. When you're not thinking good thoughts, you don't feel good. It just doesn't work. So, that is what this teaching is about, to teach you to think good thoughts about yourself, about others, and certainly about this thing called the universe. So, with that said, Andy, would you pass that card around, please, and read it?
I focus my thoughts on what I want to experience.
I focus my thoughts on what I want to experience.
I focus my thoughts on what I want to experience.
I focus my thoughts on what I want to experience.
I focus my thoughts on what I want to experience. Here again, that is one of the secrets of this teaching. You have to focus your thoughts on what you want, not allowing the world or your own mind to take you away from that. During this month of March, we were talking about spring cleaning, and we were also talking about the garden in our mind and planting what we want in our mind and planning in an orderly fashion, and to focus on what we are planting there instead of planting something and then just never worrying about it again, never looking at it, never doing anything. You have to put effort into it. You have to focus on it. That is the way it is watered. That is the way it is fertilized and nurtured and so forth, with your focus. Because where mind goes, energy flows. And your focus and your mind, wherever it goes, energy goes there. So you want to focus on what you really want. How many people used to do New Year's resolutions? You write all that stuff down and you make a New Year's resolution by the end of January. You're never focusing on it again, and a year goes by and you wonder why nothing ever happened. You must keep your focus on what you want. It's done with your mind. It's done with focusing. The world, as I tell you, is very convincing. It's always drawing you away from that. Your own mind is drawing you away from the focus that you really want. It tries to talk you out of what you want. Do not allow that to happen. Keep your focus on what you want to experience. I want only good in my life. I want only a prosperity. I want only abundance. I want the right and perfect relationships. I want only pleasant, happy, joyful experiences in my life and happy, joyful people in my life. And focus on that, and you will get that, instead of just letting anything come in to your mind or into your life. You're creating this life. Why would you want that? Why would you want something in your life? I often tell you, if somebody was in your house and you didn't want them there, you would ask them to leave. So why do you allow something in your mind that you don't want? Why do you allow it? Tell it to get out of there. You don't want to think about that. Focus on what you want. Keep focusing on what you want. Do you remember our friend Emmett Fox in The Mental Equivalent? You can only think one thought at a time, and if you're thinking a thought that you don't want, You must replace it with a thought that you do want. And he uses the analogy of a nail in a board. The nail in the board is the thought you don't want. You put another nail on top of that and hit it, and the nail goes out, and the new nail now is in that place. That is the way you do with your thoughts. You just knock them right out of there. And they leave. Okay? Now, you weren't here for the thing. We did a lot of little meditations about the garden of our minds and so forth. And I hope that everyone is still tending to the garden of their mind, and they go in there maybe daily and see what's going on in your garden. See it growing. See what it's doing. See what it is producing for you. And remember, the same thought always produces the same result. What you plant in the garden of your mind will come to fruition. It's that old thing, plant a radish, get a radish every time. You do not plant a radish and up comes the potato. And that's what people think. Oh, how did I get this? I didn't. Well, you planted it. Whatever's in your life, you had it. Your consciousness drew it to you in some way, shape, or form. There's a lot of combinations going on in there. But you have to take responsibility and say, I don't want that anymore. I'm going to focus my thoughts on the experiences that I want. That's it. Now, it's open for questions.
I do. I have a really good one.
All right.
The Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
How did they come up with her? How did they come up with Mary? I know where they got the concept of the virgin birth.
Yes.
How did they choose this particular young girl?
Oh, well, they had to pick somebody because all religions at that time in history had to have a miraculous birth of some sort, you know. Either a swan did it or somebody did it. So they had to come up with a virgin somewhere. How they came up with Mary is absolutely beyond me. But the main thing to remember about Mary is she was never all that important. It was centuries and centuries later that Mary became important in the church. Why did Mary become? Because Mary, it became more important at one point, and maybe still is more important than Jesus, because you pray to Mary, you know, and she's an interceder. So they left Jesus go and they replaced it with Mary because they needed a goddess. All other religions had a woman, had a goddess, Ares or somebody. They had to do that in order to convince the pagans to join the church. So they made Mary, you know, the mother figure and a woman figure. So that's how we got Mary.
And how old was she? About how old was she?
I think she was like 13 or 14 years old. She wasn't very young. I mean, very old. No. And here again, you know, even back then, they must have thought something's funny here, you know. A virgin, there's no such thing as a virgin birth. And always, see, we teach the Trinity, right? And the Trinity, there's three things always produce something. You always need to, you know, two, and then you need a third thing in there. You need something going on. So how they reasoned a virgin is absolutely beyond me. Absolutely beyond me, because it's impossible. It's an impossibility. You cannot have a virgin.
During that time, many of the pagan religions had that symbol of, they had that virgin birth.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So it's just borrowed from the pagan religion.
Yes. And the pagans and so forth, for years, the woman, you know, was a matriarchic society. It was centuries that it turned then into a patriarchic society. The woman was always considered the fertile one, nature, mother nature, because she was able to bear children and so forth. The man wasn't. But then men decided, oh, but we have a penis, so we're more important. And then they got rid of that concept and replaced it with men. But women, for years, were revered. They were revered. But then men, you know, I don't know if anyone knows this, you know. In Europe, there were a lot of abbesses and so forth who had, you know, the women had had very power. And women also in Europe who had lots of power and lots of money, they condemned as witches, you know. They burned them because they wanted their money, they wanted their property, and the only way they could get it was to claim that they were a witch. There were many more witches, you know. We think of the Salem witches. I think there was only 5 or 7 witches there. But in Europe, they burned thousands of women as witches to get them, to take the power away from them and to get their land and property. They don't tell you that.
Well, that's what happened to those guys that the Catholic Church all killed to get their money. Who is that?
Oh, the Templars.
The Templars. They just killed them for their money.
Oh, yeah.
Power.
Yeah.
I mean, they even...
The Pope did that.
Pope.
He wanted all the money they had.
Pope has always been very greedy for some reason.
Well, you know, you could be able to buy your way into the...
Popery.
Also, I believe, at the beginning, a pope could be married and everything else.
And the priest could be married, too.
Yeah, and then all that...
Oh, I don't know about the pope, but I know the priest could.
Oh, yeah, the pope, I'm sure the pope could be married, too. And they had drunken parties, and it was all, yeah. A lot of debauchery going on.
They eliminated the marriages because of the family ties, and they would inherit the...
Oh, yes.
...the wealth.
Right.
The church guys inherit the wealth. So.
Oh, so then if the man had all the wealth and he died, there was nobody else to get it.
But the church.
Well, what happened there because of the Reformation. If the Reformation wouldn't have happened with Martin Luther, all of Europe would have been owned by the Catholic Church. Because they had this little clause which a wealthy man cannot get into heaven. So on their deathbed, all the wealthy men signed everything over to the church so they could get into heaven. Remember, it's easier for what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Now, does anyone know what that means, the eye of a needle? You know? What is it?
The eye of a needle was a stone entrance, which was just slightly larger than a man, so it was very difficult for a camel.
A camel filled with anything could not go through it. A camel filled with nothing could go through the eye of a needle. Because at nighttime, the gates of the city were closed. And that's the only way you get into the city, through the narrow eye. See, and they called it the eye of a needle. But most, you know, many people still think it means the eye of a sewing needle. That was all through Europe. Because, you know, they all had walled, the Middle East and Europe, because they all had walled cities then.
They all had an eye of the needle?
Uh-huh. They all had them.
I didn't
know
that.
Then they could have guards on it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any correlation between the eye of the needle and the yawn?
Oh, there probably. I mean, it looks like that, doesn't it? Could absolutely be. Yeah. All the stuff is tied together somehow. You know, it's symbolic. It all does different things.
Well, so here's a question. Metaphysically, you know, they say in the world, history repeats itself.
Yes.
And we've certainly seen that happen in both religion and government.
Yes.
And so I guess a question is, what do we make of that metaphysically, or what should we do with, what could we do with that metaphysically? I mean, obviously, you know, when a church starts, they aren't necessarily starting for vain purposes. They maybe have a more spiritual idea, but then it gets corrupted and then and becomes something else. And the government's the same way. It's like they probably set out with good intentions, but oftentimes, most times, things go awry. So what can we learn from that metaphysically, how to deal with these institutions?
By not buying into the institution, by realizing that that's in the world. And that's a worldly thing that has nothing to do with spirituality whatsoever. When we say history repeats itself, you see, that's a statement, that's a worldly statement, and we must stop using that statement. You see, God never repeats itself. Why do you think there's no snowflakes that look alike? God doesn't repeat itself. There's no two people that absolutely look alike. Even twins don't have small differences. But that's in the, and that's why when in the world we say history repeats itself, and we use another thing where there have always been wars and there will always be war. Here, use that one. But we keep that going, and that's in race mind, you see. And that's what we're trying to do, is change race mind so that we no longer think that way. Oh, it's always happened this way. Oh, this is the way it's always been. It'll always, you know, I'm just human. Humans were always, well, if we keep saying that, we just keep redoing it. How many people say, oh, that always happens to me? Well, then it's going to continue. You must always divorce yourself from race mind. It's out there functioning, but you do not have to buy into it. That's the collective consciousness. Another question here?
You always have a big question.
Well, this conversation that has started about the Bible and now you're answering that makes me wonder about this illusion of the world and things that you hear from time to time. And a lot of it's conspiracy theory, but, you know, like the idea that, you know, that powerful people have agendas and things are happening, you know, behind,
yeah,
behind the scenes. And
things are.
Could we do something about these things? Do we need to? Is it just a matter of, you know, concerning ourselves with our own happiness? Or
it's concerning yourself with your own happiness. Don't buy into that. That stuff is happening. But quit thinking about that and teach your people around you not to think about that, and that will eventually go away. But we take all that stuff for granted, you see, so it just keeps happening. Absolute power creates absolute whatever.
Corruption.
Well,
because also you have to realize all those people that do that are greedy. And greedy people can't all stay together, so it all falls apart eventually. And then a new thing starts.
Yes.
And they get too many people in it, and it all falls apart.
Well, everything falls apart because people are not living in a universe. They're living in a world that says there's lack of limitation, and if you have it, I don't have it. Instead of saying, I can have it also, and my stuff is my stuff, your stuff is your stuff, you see. What's yours by right of consciousness is yours. What's mine is mine. And you can have everything in the universe. Well, now, does that mean I don't have everything in the universe? Absolutely not. I can have everything in the universe also. I'm not taking from anybody. You never take anything from anybody. The world teaches, that country has the oil, so we've got to take that oil from them. Because we have tons of oil in this country. We do.
And a lot of good comes out of all the things that you're talking about are corrupt. You know, like the government, there are many good things that come out of that.
Yeah.
Where we all benefit.
Yes.
So I think we need to focus on the positives.
Yes.
And we should try to correct what is wrong. But
right.
Also,
correct what is wrong, and we have to give up, you know, we have to forgive those people. They don't know what they do. That was that whole thing with Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. If we looked at this government and so forth, we would go crazy, because look what all it did. It gave the Indians blankets with smallpox so it would kill them. It did this to them. It took this away from them. It does all this. And we say this country was absolutely founded on freedom. This country was not absolutely founded on freedom. This country was founded on slavery. But you have to forgive them, and you have to get over all that and say, can we make this better? Can I think better of this? Can I do? What can I do? I can think better. If I want to lamb blast the politicians, that is not helping. I have to know that the mind of God is working through them, changing their mind right here and right now for the benefit of all mankind.
Can you repeat that? Because that was sort of like the next question I was going to ask.
What do you want me to repeat?
The affirmation that you said for government or for
you have to know that God is working through the minds of every politician right here and right now, changing their mind so that it's for the benefit of all. You see, we always do everything for the benefit of all those concerned. So, yes, there's all that corruption, but I never concentrate on the corruption. I concentrate on the other thing. You know, there's always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. But instead of concentrating on the bad, concentrate on the good. If it's only a little piece of good, if you keep concentrating on it, if you keep focusing on that, it's going to get bigger and bigger and overcome that. And yes, there are mean, hateful, spiteful people, but you cannot go in that direction. You see, you have to think with the mind of God. Do you think God hates those people? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So many people think, oh, Hitler's suffering in hell somewhere. Hitler's not suffering in hell. It would be nice, and as our human mind says, oh, wouldn't that be nice? You know, this why is it called the killing machine? The television. But the other thing, the television, you know, everyone loves Law and Order. My God, it must be on every channel 24 hours a day.
Somewhere 24
hours. And it's all based, you know, on punishment. Somebody has to be punished.
And
God doesn't punish.
Murder.
And murder, yeah.
And murder.
And God doesn't punish. You know, but we sit and watch those things. Oh, yeah, we have to punish that person. The first time he has to be accountable. You know, who cares? I don't want to live that way. I don't want to punish people. Sometimes I'd like to. I know, it's true. I have those moments where, oh,
but
boy.
But that's what we do with the people who are constantly breaking the law.
Well, we have to pray for those people that they'll see.
Well, we do that as well as...
Pardon?
Well...
We don't do that as well as we should be praying for those people. We don't. We put them in prison. We do all kinds of other things, and we know.
No, I know that. I'm saying. No, you said that you didn't believe in punishment.
Right. I don't.
And I said, what do we do with those people who break the law?
Ah.
I'm not assuming that.
Right. Well, we have to think of something better, because what we have, the system we have, certainly doesn't work. Isn't working, and I forget how many. Millions. There are millions of people in jail. It costs a fortune to keep
them. Some of them are for just stupid things that happened once.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people, a lot of people do things like shoot somebody because they think if they kill them, they'll be happy. Well, eventually they figure out they're not happy because they're locked away. And it doesn't work out. So then, it's like in prison, they have this whole thing of people that are on death row or that have been in prison, they all of a sudden find peace and find God because they realize that what they were lacking was love.
Yes, they were lacking love for themselves.
Love of themselves and then other people.
It's not only that, they have nowhere else to go.
No, but I mean they all of a sudden
continue to believe.
Right.
That's a absolute quandary what we're ever going to do, because the world teaches punishment and it says you must pay for this, you must do this, that and the other thing, and this is going to teach you a lesson. The world is always out to teach a lesson. I don't know what the lesson is that the world's trying to teach,
right,
but they're always out there. Oh, they have to learn their lesson. I go, oh my God, what kind of a lesson do you want?
Well, the lesson is profitability.
Probability.
You really look at the fact we had a discussion about this, but Wendy, Larry, most powerful union in the state of California is the California Correctional Officers Association. Do you realize that a prison guard makes more than Paula?
Yes, of course.
And he doesn't have to have a high school education.
Right.
And that over the last 10 years, they've taken away all of the so-called rehabilitative processes, education for inmates.
But my thing with that.
New prisons with the money.
Yeah. My philosophy is, who wakes up and wants to be a prison guard, and what kind of a psychological profile would you have to be to want to walk and see people in cages?
Oh, it's a high paying no-brainer.
It's an absolute. There's something.
But they're in prison the same time that the prison is in.
Yes.
There.
But
so
now,
in prison.
Right, and it's become big business now.
It's the largest business in the state of California.
Yes, and it's going to be in the world or in the United States. It's a corporation for. They're building prisons. Corporations build prisons. It's a business. Everything turns to business. Everything turns to money and making money. But you can't. My philosophy with that is, you know, you can't be around all that and it doesn't rub off on you. You start to become just like the prisoner.
Yeah, well, look at all the police officers and prison guards that kill people and kill family members and do other things because they're in prison. Wow. So that's what they. That's
but
what
this is
around.
This we have to realize is the world that we have made, and we came up with the idea: if we have robbers, we have to have cops. So we have cops and robbers. If we have this, we have to have that. If we have sickness, we have to have doctors. If we have to da 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 da. Instead of changing this whole movie that we're watching and saying that we don't have to do that anymore, you see. We don't have to have that. If you have policemen, you're going to have to, the opposite of that is going to be robbers. Cops and robbers. We learned that as children. So if we get rid of all of that, you know. But that's where we're trying to evolve.
Yes, that's not where we are.
That's not where we are at the present moment. And it's going to be, I hate to make that statement, it's going to take a while because of the economy, because of economics. Because of, you know, if we got rid of all, if everyone was honest, what would happen to all the policemen? Now, yeah, well, yes. But then what if we didn't believe in fire anymore and things didn't catch on fire?
But the system is designed so that everybody won't be honest.
Yes. This is because we design it. We make it that way so people, so there's, and we think that's the way the world works. I'll tell you a cute thing about fire. And they don't use them anymore. You may remember lightning rods were invented by Benjamin Franklin. But very few people use lightning rods anymore. But if a home was struck in the beginning, if a home, when I say in the beginning, I mean in the beginning of this country in colonial times, if a home was struck by lightning, they didn't, firemen did not put it out because that was an act of God. If it caught on fire because of some other reason, they would go and put it out. But if it was lightning, forget it, that's God. They would not touch it. So, I mean, this is, we change our attitudes, and we must keep changing our attitudes of what this world is about. And when you see Law and Order, which is fascinating to watch, it's always about punishing somebody for something. So the world punishes, and we think then that the universe punishes or that God punishes. God does not punish. It's an impossibility.
It's a hard concept to get into a Christian's head.
Well, yes, because you were taught that from day one. But all Christians were lost before they knew anything because they teach the Hammurabi law of a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. But people think that has something to do with Christianity. It doesn't have anything to do with Christianity.
What do you think of the term think globally but act locally?
Well, I think that that's wonderful because, see, everything has to start with you and it has to start. Why don't we feed a child here? We won't feed our own children, but we'll send millions of dollars to some other country to feed their children, and our children are starving because it makes bigger headlines that we sent money to Ethiopia or someplace.
But then half the food doesn't get to the children.
And it doesn't
anyway,
get to the children because they're corrupt. And that's the whole idea. We live in an abundant universe, and we also live in an abundant world. This earth is absolutely, totally abundant. No one should be starving or wanting for anything. But what happens is the distribution. There, we cannot make it distribute itself correctly. Somebody steps in and does this, that, and the other thing. We couldn't eat all the food. Go to these supermarkets and look at the food stacked to the ceiling. They can't sell that in a week's time. And, then it goes out. Then they used to throw it in the dumpster, and then they had dumpster divers. And then they lock those all up so no one can get that food. Because that was, if somebody complained, you could eat. People used to pick that up, and it was good food. But now they, because here again, I guess economics, or I don't know what it is, but we produce that much stuff in this world. No one should want for anything. No one should want for anything.
Is there an affirmation we should be doing, or we could be doing, for the planet, for the world, for society?
Oh, absolutely. There's always that. Everyone has abundance. Everyone has prosperity. And then see everyone with that stuff. We have to raise the consciousness. I told you earlier, Jesus said the poor will always be among us, the poor in consciousness. If we raise our consciousness, you can't be poor anymore. And when I use this stuff and say this stuff, I'm not concentrating here on money people. Everyone thinks that prosperity means money. Money is a side effect of a prosperous consciousness or an abundant consciousness. And everyone can obtain an abundant consciousness, but you have to work on that. But the world teaches lack and limitation. And we constantly say we don't have something instead of saying I have everything. Everything is available to me. Everything is coming to me. And then start to see all that coming to you. And then it's about teaching and so forth. Now I'll tell you what I would love to do. I have this idea. I'm talking to a friend about it. I would like to have a show on television, metaphysical. I would babble on metaphysically as I was showing people how they could go to the 99-cent store and buy the correct things and make wonderful meals for practically next to nothing, instead of saying, oh, you have to go out and buy here, there, and everywhere. The same products that are in Gelson's and all, you can find in the 99-cent store. You can get all that designer lettuce and so forth. A big thing like this, that designer lettuce for 99 cents, it's $7 or $8 in the other stores. You can get eggs there. You can get milk there. You can get more. You can get enough stuff there that's nutritious. And there's abundance. I don't know how many people I have said to, have told people who, oh, I've been around. If you're looking for toothpaste, go to the 99-cent store and buy a tube of toothpaste for 99 cents. In my local Gelson's, it's $6.95 for a tube of toothpaste. $7 for a tube of toothpaste. Colgate's or whatever, you can, they carry all that at the 99-cent store for 99 cents. So, you know, you don't need a lot of money. You need a consciousness, a prosperity consciousness, and you have to act intelligently with your money. I go right back to the thing, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned, or a penny earned or saved, and so you don't. I would never go to Starbucks and buy 3 cups of coffee a day. That's $20 a day. I wouldn't buy a pack of cigarettes for $5 and some odd cents now. You know, and I used to smoke. I would give up those habits. I would give up that stuff and say, is that using this money that I have wisely? You have to use your money wisely. Millionaires do that. They use it wisely. I read an article once where Rose Kennedy always reused the tinfoil. I hate to reuse tinfoil, by the way, which I get as a 99-cent store. I like fresh, nice, smooth tinfoil. I just don't know that stuff. So I splurge on those. Yeah. But there is abundance out there. There's all, everything is out there. It's just doing it correctly. Change your mind about it. Change your mind about this world. See this world differently, and the world will start to change. But we have this concept of the world that we've made, and we just keep sticking with it. All the people, all the things in the world, How many years now have they been conquering cancer? How many billions and trillions of dollars have they poured into that? It's a big business.
They have the cure, they wouldn't put it out because then they'd be out of business.
Absolutely.
It's like the drug companies never make drug that cures you of what it is. They only make a drug that you have to take every day for the rest of your life.
Well, because they made it chronic. They make everything chronic now.
So they get your money every month. So you drop dead. No, and there's a big backlash against that. There's even been articles in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. People are finding that it's just a sham and a scam, a lot of it.
Yes. It has its benefits. But there again, you have to use your wisdom. You always, with everything we do, we have to use our wisdom and not go down that path and let people lead us down some path.
I just had a class, and this gentleman talks about the whole process of first you think it, then you feel it, then you believe it,
yes,
and then you actualize it.
Yes.
Manifest it. And if you want to change your thoughts, you have to go through the whole process and go back through it so that you don't repeat it again.
Yes.
The same thing again. He had a diagram that showed how you have to, you can't just say that I'm going to decide to change my thought. You have to think it and feel that negative feeling that you had when you felt this before.
Yes.
Before you can change it into a positive feeling and then change the thought.
Yes.
And the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know. I was just running through it.
Well, feeling always follows thought. And yes, it always starts with a thought, and then it starts with a feeling, and then we have to actualize that feeling. And at any point, we can stop the process. But once it's actualized and you see you don't want it, then you have to come back up. You can change your thought, but you have to, you know, if you're still... See, people change their thought, and they say, oh, yes, the world is abundant, but they haven't changed their feeling of lack and limitation. You have to change the whole thing. You have to change that.
I could see how that would be a very cyclical thing, because you have a thought and then you have a feeling, and then once it becomes a belief,
yes,
you're gonna have that thought a lot, and that's gonna create those feelings. And
mm-hmm.
How that would be a hard thing to crack.
So to undo it, you have to go back through the process.
Yes.
And reverse it.
Oh.
It's changed that feeling with the feeling that you want to feel.
Yes.
It's like unlearning it.
Yes.
Like what?
Unlearning it.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't actually done that yet, but...
Well, it's just becoming a witness to your thinking and what all's going on in there and what your mind is doing to you all the time. Mm-hmm. You have to be very diligent, because that mind is slippy and it's tricky. And it's always after you.
Yeah, well, there's that one saying that's like your ego gets in the way. Ego stands for edging God out. Mm-hmm. So you're not thinking God thoughts, you're thinking other thoughts.
Yes. Yes, you have to think God thoughts. And higher, God thoughts are just higher thoughts than you're thinking. And letting the world thoughts get to you, or race mind get to you, you have to think, oh, There's a better way to think here. There's a different way to do, and I can give up this, and I can give up, and I can forgive, and I can have compassion, and I can do all these, and then things change for you. But it's these low-level thoughts that you have to be punished, you have to do this, you have to, oh my God. Petty little things, I don't want them. Your mind was created to think wonderful things, not all that. Not all that stuff going on.
I think that's why sometimes people want to go away and live alone in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
So they don't want to be affected and infected by all those things.
But that's not the way, you know.
It won't work.
No. We'd like to sit on a mountaintop and just have peace. But very few people can do that because the mind turns in on you. Your own, you have to be able to control your thinking. Morning, noon, and night.
It's a job.
It is a job. But I'll tell you, it becomes easier and easier. And it goes quicker and quicker, you know.
It's being aware of it when it occurs.
Yes.
You can stop it.
Yes.
And go back and
yes.
change it.
Because you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings. You're always much more than that. So you have to divorce yourself from that. You have to detach from those things and see what's going on and say, oh, well, I'm not going to act upon those things. They're just, it's the clouds in the sky. The clouds just keep going past. You look at the clouds, you don't. But the blue sky is always there. You must identify with the blue sky. The blue sky is this thing that we call God. It never changes. The blue sky stays blue. Clouds come through it, that's all. Thoughts come through your mind that are not yours. Just let them come in one side and go out the other. But we latch on to them and say, oh, let's do something with that. Well, that's an ugly, horrible thought, you know. You know. And I don't never punish myself. And I can tell you, I have murderous thoughts sometimes. And I go, oh, where did that come from? Well, I don't want it. I don't say, oh, now I'm going to go out and murder somebody, I'm going to do this, I'm going to hate myself or anything. I say, oh, that's a cloud. I'm not going to attach myself. That cloud's going to go out. And now off it goes someplace else. You know?
Well, that's Mother Teresa said that one time when she was worrying about how people could do things. She was on a train trip and she realized she could also be Hitler.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thoughts that came in. And
absolutely. You could.
Because we all have the same.
He grabbed onto them. And I'm always delighted, you see, that I don't grab onto those things. I'm delighted that I'm not in prison. I'm delighted that I don't wake up in the morning and want to steal something. I'm delighted I don't wake up and want to murder somebody and so forth. And I say, thank you so much that I have chosen not to play that role. Just a role those people are playing. You must choose the role you want to play. I have exactly 8 o'clock. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.